This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Karina Anglada.
Cheer for your paycheck, too. No, I'm just kidding.
And Darius Thomas.
Yeah, take us all the way back.
Today's guest originally found interest in the video world by watching inspiring content creators on YouTube. And since then, her incredible journey has led her to work for some of the top creative video programs in the country. Meet today's guest, Stephanie Lopez, the Assistant Director of Creative Video for Auburn Football. The University of Georgia graduate let her interest in fashion, marketing, communications, and video drive her creative energies throughout college. And while we discuss many topics today, she'll share the reason why she believes in the power of posting your work on social media.
This is fun. This is going to be fun. All right. Time dot is, Karina.
I got it. I'm at 47 right now.
I'm at 49.
Okay. You call the number
56.
Then. 56. It's delayed. I feel like it's always delayed.
It's really not.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller FX, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini-course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step-by-step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sports-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Creative Sports Podcast. We are so excited for today's guest. We have Stephanie Lopez, Assistant Director of Football Creative Video from Auburn University. Thanks for joining us, Steph.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Awesome. So we're going to just jump right into it. For those who don't know about your background, what do you currently do today, and what was your journey to get there?
So I'm currently, like Karina said, I'm currently the Assistant Director of Creative Video for Auburn Football. And so kind of like what that entails is, like, the easiest way that I explain it to people is a lot of the videos and things that you see on social media from Auburn Football, I like play a hand in. So I help shoot a lot of the videos on there. I help edit a lot of the stuff that goes out on social, but also a lot of our work is internally for the football team. So a lot of my work isn't necessarily seen by the public. Like, a lot of the things that we work on are hype videos for the team before a game, or like recruiting is a really big part of the job too. So on OV visits, we help shoot videos for recruits and then edit those together, and then those go get sent out to our recruits, so, and then they get to decide if they want to post it or not. But that's kind of like the quick spiel on what I do at Auburn Football currently.
That's awesome. And so it sounds like, you know, we've got a lot of recruiting. I love that you mentioned there's a lot of work that doesn't get seen by the public, because I think that is a part of this industry that, right, there is so much creative work that happens behind the scenes that literally never sees the light of day, but it all contributes to that final project or process. I'm curious, now that we're in the pseudo off season of the regular college football season, what does your day-to-day schedule look like? Because I know a lot of the folks listening already work in athletics, but what does your schedule look like now when the, you know, team isn't practicing like the normal cadence during the fall?
During like the off season, especially like now, like the team's still like they're still working out, they're still doing lifts. So that's like some things that we have to cover. Like, there's team runs some morning, so we'll cover that. So, but those aren't like as like daily or as often as practices are usually. So we'll shoot like workouts and do like little recaps from either a workout or a team run. But then also a lot of, like, again, like the things that the public doesn't see is like organizing things, making sure like our server is like up to date and really organized, and like everything's labeled. So then when the season does come around, like, we don't have to spend as much time like doing all the back end work of things. But especially like right now, a lot of the times too, when we first came back, like in January, like postseason, we like, we're filling a lot of requests for team or our players for video footage pulls, and so kind of like that stuff, which is a lot more like internal thing too, like that aren't necessarily public facing. So just making sure things are organized, shooting like workouts, lifts, all that fun stuff.
Love it. And then what was your background, right? Walk us through what took you to Auburn, and then let's work backwards from there. Like, where was your beginning? Okay. And did you always know that you wanted to be involved in video and football creative?
Yeah. So if we're going to go like way back, like to like the very beginning of like where,
yes,
where I like kind of first got introduced to video. Well, I think was, I don't remember how old I was, but I was relatively young. I first kind of like got introduced to the world of like video with YouTube. And so I just started like watching like YouTube videos, and I saw like some, like this was like maybe like around 2010. Like I would watch like Arden Rose. I think she's a lifestyle and like beauty vlogger, and Andrea Russett. And like that was kind of like the more like lifestyle like side of YouTube. And so I watched that. And then there was like the more creative side of YouTube that I watched. So like a Gen X pet, like Gen X Pen, she would make like creative like music videos and stuff like that. And so I was like, ooh, I want to try making videos like this. And so I had, I think, a Dell laptop and like a webcam and Windows Movie Maker. So I would make videos like that with what's it called, with like just make like random songs. Like I was a really big, I'm really big into Justin Bieber, especially when I was younger, if like the people who know me know. And so I would make music videos to Justin Bieber and all of that. So that's like my background in terms of like where I first really got started with video. And then I got an iPod Touch when I was like for Christmas one year, I think. And then that was my first Apple product with like that, with a touchscreen, and I could download apps. And then it had like the selfie cam. I think it was one of the first iPod Touches with a selfie cam and like the back camera. And so that's kind of like where I, like, I brought that thing with me everywhere. And then like the world of Video Star, I don't know if y'all know what Video Star is. And so I would make music videos on there. And then I never posted them anywhere. I just made them for myself. So that's like way back where I got started into video. And then I kind of got like, I guess, more serious with it in high school, because at my high school, there's this requirement that we had to complete a pathway in order to graduate. And so with that, there's like a bunch of different pathways. There's like healthcare, or like engineering, like theater, art, all that fun stuff. And then there's a audio, video, tech and film pathway. And so I wanted to do that because then I could learn more about video production and all of that. So that's kind of like where I got like, I guess, a more professional like knowledge of video production. And then there was also this thing called Photo Team at my high school. And it was basically just like a couple of people. I would go to either football games or basketball games or theater events and anything to shoot like photo. And so I was like, ooh, I want to do that. And that's kind of like where I got introduced, I guess, to sports photography or sports creative. And so I kind of like jumped around too from video to photo. Now I'm kind of back at video, but like Photo Team helped me like get introduced to like the world of sports creative in general. And then I started shooting video a little bit at football games for the audio video tech pathway I was in. So that's kind of like where I got introduced to sports, like creative, I guess, was through there. And then in college, I like, before I even like started, I was researching different student organizations I wanted to get involved with. And I saw there was a couple of fashion magazines at my school. So that's kind of like where I got involved with like more photo, because like when I was in high school, I kind of like started gravitating towards photo a little bit more. So I was like, ooh, I kind of want to focus on this in college. So then through these magazines, I like help shoot photo and stuff for the magazines, either like for print or for online. And then I kind of like almost not necessarily took a break from video, because I still did a little bit here and there. But I focused a lot more on photo, like the first half of my college career. And then at UGA, there's a, backtrack. I went to school at UGA. And so, that's kind of
University
like
of Georgia.
In.
Love it.
The classic city.
Yeah, there's a lot of Georgia Auburn connection here. As
there's a lot.
I used to work at Georgia. You went to school at Georgia. Karina now lives in Athens.
Yeah.
Karina used to live in Auburn and work at Auburn. You now work at Auburn. And so comparing those two towns, because, you know, I've been to some Auburn games and the environment is great there. But just comparing the two towns, I know that, you know, it's probably a little biased now because that's where you currently work. And, you know, sometimes we have to protect where we work. But talk about the two towns because they are relatively different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, in my opinion, too, they're like relatively similar, too. They're definitely different. Like, Athens as a city, like as a whole, is just bigger, in my opinion. Like, it feels bigger. Mm-hmm. And Auburn, like, is just a little bit smaller of a town. And it's definitely kind of like that classic, like, small town, like, Southern heritage vibe. And then, like, Athens is just a, like, a little bit bigger. But, like, in terms of environment, too, like, weather, like, they're relatively the same. They're both, like, in the South. Like, Auburn's very close to Georgia, like, geographically. And, like, the people are all super nice. It's just, like, another classic Southern college town, which I think kind of gravitated me towards Auburn a little bit because it felt like Georgia, like, just as, like, a state. And it felt like Athens a little bit because it's another college town.
It's true. I think what you said, you know, I have not been in Athens for more than a year. So you probably have a better way to compare, and same Darius with you, although I'm not sure how much time, Darius, you've spent in Auburn, but I'm with you on the size of campus. Like, Auburn, it definitely feels like a smaller college town. And I haven't been to, believe it or not, I haven't been to a football game at Georgia yet. But the experience with Auburn football, and I'm curious your take now, Steph, because you worked with University of Georgia football as a student and now working full time with Auburn University. Take me through your take on the Auburn football experience, because I have my own opinions about it, but I want to hear, you know, your thoughts on it.
Yeah. So, like I said, like, Athens and Auburn as cities are very similar. And so, like, the people too are kind of similar in a way. But in my opinion, it seems like Auburn fans are such, like, diehard Auburn fans. Like, everyone is so supportive almost of fans. Like we were, like, talking about this too before the podcast a little bit. But, like, the Iron Bowl that I experienced was, like, unlike any other game I've ever worked before. Like, the environment, it was so loud. Like, I even bought, what's it called? Earplugs at the beginning of the season. Cause I was like, I cannot be working 4-8 plus hour, like, in like 100+ decibel sound. Like, I'm going to go deaf by the time I like am 30. So I got like earplugs, and then even through the earplugs, you could hear how loud the stadium was. And I don't think we have a decibel counter. And if we do, I just don't know about it, but it was so loud and it was insane. But, also I kind of like, when I'm working games, I'm so tunnel vision on what I'm doing. So I don't really remember it. This is so bad, but I don't really remember what I'm like after what happens after a game. So like, there are a lot of games too that I worked where I'm like, I remember like 5 minutes of the day, but in my opinion, like, Auburn football, I don't know. Like, it's just magical. Like, working football games, especially like night games, are so magical. And like Auburn, like both Auburn and like Georgia games were like magical. Like, that's the only way I can explain it. Like, I don't know.
SEC football at that. Like, that, I mean, I feel so lucky to have worked at Auburn because I did get to experience seeing other SEC schools and the different rivalries. And like, you, that word magical is so true. Like, there's something really special about it that's hard to describe to somebody that's never experienced it before. So to all our folks listening, if you ever have a chance, if anybody hooks you up with tickets, you better go, because it's so cool. And Stephanie, you mentioned that, you know, you had your experience working with Georgia, obviously national championship experience on the creative side. What was that like, you know, being a part of all of that, working as a student, and, you know, what exactly did you do when you were working with the team at Georgia?
I started working at Georgia as an intern, a video intern for creative, when I was a senior in college, which is like very rare, I think.
Wow.
Especially in creative, like, they usually, like, for students, usually they want to hire like younger kids, like usually like freshmen, sophomore. So then they have like a little bit more experience. But this kind of also goes back to like my background, like while I was like in undergrad, because one thing I also did was a student-led ad and PR agency called Talking Dog. And I got a little bit more like video experience other than photo through there. And part of like, so that's kind of like where I kind of gravitated more towards video or started like doing video a little bit more. But going back to Georgia, I remember they started hiring interns. I think it was like the March of my junior year. So March, what year was that? 2021. And so I remember they posted like an application for it around that time. And I dropped like everything I was doing. I think I had a paper due or something that day. And I was like, forget this. I'm going to like sit down and like write like everything. Like I'm going to like sit down and like work, spend the most of my time on this like application. Because that was something that I really wanted to do while I was in undergrad. Because one thing about Georgia or like Georgia Football Creative is that they have an Instagram account called like GFB Creates. And that's kind of where I got introduced to like the creative team for football. And like, I love their work. And I was like, I want to learn from these people. Like, these are the people who I want to learn from. And so I tried reaching out to some of the guys that work there, like through email and stuff. But like, I'm not the best at looking at my email or responding to my email. So I didn't really get a response. But so I applied for the internship, and then I literally didn't hear back until July of that year. So like 6 months later. And so by that time I thought like, oh, I didn't get it. They probably hired someone else because I just never heard back. But then I got like an interview and everything. And so I started working there. And as a student intern, especially, like we just kind of were almost like assistants in a way. Like we were just like helping out with like any projects that came up. Like a lot of the things too that I worked on as a student, especially in my first season there, was shooting practice and like making practice videos. So I kind of just like, that's like the way I learned too how to shoot was shooting practice. And then editing on Premiere, because before that I would just edit on Final Cut Pro because that's what I had access to. And like you can just buy Final Cut Pro once versus Premiere, you have to like pay each month. And so that's like what I did anyway. But besides that, so as a student, I help shoot practice, edit practice videos, and then edit other random miscellaneous practice or not practice, social content that they needed. So that's kind of like where I kind of started. And then like in terms of like the national championship, so me and my friends were kind of talking about this too, like, what are the odds that I get to go to Georgia, or I decide to go to Georgia for school? And then my first year working for the football team, like they go to the national championship and I get to help cover that. Like that is like the odds of that, like that never happens. Amazing. Like that never happens to people. And so I'm just like so grateful that that's like an opportunity I got to not only like witness, but like be a part of and like tell that story. Cause like, whether like people, like, I don't know what like people think of like working in creative or like working in sports especially, but in my mind, like we are telling, like capturing and telling the story and like the history of our teams. And to be able to do that as a student and like capture like my schools and my teams, like first national championship in 41 years was like magical. Like, honestly, like we joke around it, like the fellow interns and I, like we joked around being like, this is the best day of our lives. Like not even getting married or the birth of our first child is going to top this. Like it was like so surreal. And I think, cause I started working like that season in August, and then the national championship was in January. So like my first six months of working in creative sports, I got to not only go to a national championship, but like tell the story. Like it's so like surreal and magical, and I'm so grateful. And I don't like, I don't know, it's like magical. That's literally the only way to explain it.
So you were the good luck charm because that you started that year saying. And were you there for the second like national championship?
Yeah, because the two seasons that I worked for them were the 2 years that they went to the national championship and won. So
Kirby's look at you, like, hire her back now.
Maybe it's just a coincidence. But at the same time, like ever since I graduated, like, we don't need to talk about it, but, like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So staying there, so this is your first year. Well, this was your first year at Auburn. Having been a Georgia graduate, talk about the first time that you actually have to be put in a situation to either cheer for your alma mater or like working that first game as an Auburn employee, knowing that you went to, because I've been there and it's a tough place to be when deep down inside, like you are, you know, you want to cheer for your alma mater, but you also have to stay professional. So talk
you
about
that. You got to cheer for your paycheck too. Absolutely. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Yeah. Like, cause that's kind of not weird, but like when I first started working here, everyone's like, oh, you're Stephanie from Georgia. And I'm like, yes, that's me. But I think like the first, like I was super excited for the Georgia game, not going to lie, just because I was going to see everyone that I got to work with. And it was kind of like a reunion almost. And so in that aspect, and it was at Jordan Hare, like it was at home. And one thing about like Auburn is that the environment at Jordan Hare is wild. And that's what everyone always says. And I can attest it, like it's so different. And that game, I was like so excited the entire game because I was like, oh my gosh, we might actually like pull this off. Like Auburn might actually win. And it was like, it was so fun because like the environment, like the fans, the team was just like so hype and so excited. And so like as a creative, like in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, our cinematic recap is about to be like the best cinematic recap of all time. Like after like we pull this off.
And you're so already building the edit in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so
love it.
We were like I wasn't necessarily, I wasn't like, I don't know how to explain this, but like, I wasn't necessarily ever rooting for Georgia like in that situation because like in my mind like Auburn is what pays the bills, like point blank, like period. Like I want my team that like I'm currently working for to win because that's like how like in my mind, like as a creative too, like it, you can tell like the better stories like that way too, and like it's just easier like for our team to win, like if that makes sense, like in terms of telling the story, like it definitely gets like a little bit trickier, like when your team doesn't get the outcome that you want, because it just like the fans are upset, like the vibes are like not the best kind of thing. And so I was always like rooting for Auburn in that situation, but like as like my friend, like I still have friends that work at Georgia and I still have friends that like were on the creative team, and so like I want them to like be able to experience like the postseason and all of like the fun, like the bowl game and all of that. So like I want Georgia to do well in that sense so that my friends that are still there can still experience all of that. But I don't know if that makes any sense. But
it makes a lot of sense.
I was just gonna say it's like you have to be strategic, like you said, if it's a loss, about how you tell that story and and weave it in a way. And it's like for me, it's almost like you're rooting for your own self-interest, because it's like you have outcomes that you need to deliver after the game, right? So you're probably focused on that. Like your time as a student at Georgia is, you know, come and gone, right? But like you said, it's like you're this is your job, this is your day-to-day now. So I love that. It is, Darius, it's a good question though, because sometimes it's hard. You're like, wait,
it is very hard.
Especially like, and it sounds like Stephanie, you have friends still that are, you know, still working at Georgia that you like, you want to root for them, but you got to root for yourself at the end of the day too.
Exactly.
So. Absolutely. So I have two stories. One I'll start with, since I just asked that question. So the last football game that I worked at Georgia was against my alma mater, which is Ole Miss. And that was the first time that Georgia had played Ole Miss in football. So we played each other in basketball and other sports, and I didn't really care. but that game, I was like deeply, it was a tough position to be in at the time, but I was rooting for my alma mater because things were kind of turning at Georgia. That's a whole nother thing. But that was a situation where I was literally like deep down, like hoping that in Ole Miss won like 45-6. But the first game that I worked on the road as an employee for Georgia was in 2013, and it was at Auburn. And
oh, get out.
This game was
2013.
That was the tip six game.
Oh, I wasn't there yet. Okay. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
So it was very competitive. Like I said, I've been in Jordan-Hare. It is a crazy, crazy environment. Like really good. Especially when
nothing
you see,
like it.
Like you said, the Eagle, the energy, the way that the stadium is constructed to keep the noise in there. And I remember it was fourth quarter, and I can't remember what the quarterback's name was, but he was pretty good. But Auburn throws the ball, and literally, I don't even know how my camera was turning because I was so busy watching the play that the tripod was just turning towards the play. It was like such a miraculous play, and there were two safeties that kind of converged on the ball together, tipped it, and the guy from Auburn caught it and ran it in for 6 points. Then 2 weeks later is when the miracle in Jordan-Hare.
At Jordan-Hare. Yeah. Yep.
So a lot.
That was
great,
a wild season.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Marshall was the
quarterback. Nick Marshall. Yeah.
Who had played at Georgia. He was on the Georgia team a couple years before.
Wait, I didn't realize. Oh, geez, yeah. I'm behind the times.
Yeah.
See, and there's all the Auburn-Georgia connections.
Many people don't know that rivalry is like, that's one of, like, people always talk about Georgia-Florida. Like, Georgia has the most rivals in football. Like, there's Georgia-Florida, there's Georgia-Auburn, or Auburn-Georgia, there's Georgia Tech. They have a lot of people. Tennessee, that's a rival. So lots of history there.
For sure. I feel like now it's an interesting time too, because with the back-to-back national championships and then, you know, almost going three, right? It's almost like there's a cultural shift. And I feel like, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to see all the, you know, vintage quote unquote national championship gear that like, is like people are wearing every single day now, especially here in the South and even more so in Georgia. But Steph, you mentioned something earlier when you were talking about, you know, as the game is going on, you're like, oh, I could use this moment for a cinematic recap. I would love to get your take on three tips that you have for building a cinematic recap, whether it's win, loss, or something else crazy happens. What are your top three tips as you're going into each game or as you're kind of covering each game?
Mm-hmm. So kind of like, well, for me personally too, like I just started like putting together like cinematic recaps like this season, because that was something that as a student, like we weren't necessarily like able to do back when I was at Georgia, because that's just kind of like a bigger project and whatever. But I like learned the most honestly from our director of creative video here, Tyler Cole. He kind of like helps out or like does a really great job of them. And so I think I put together two this season. It was for Samford and Vanderbilt. And Samford was the first one that I put together. And so in terms of like tips too, like you kind of have to think about like the overarching, I guess, like theme of like either the week or of the game. And so for example, for Samford, it was our homecoming game. And so I kind of in my mind thought about like using that as like the overarching theme. And also it was the first night game at Jordan-Hare. So kind of like those are like the big two overall themes. Cause you're not just telling the story of the game and like the plays that happen. You're telling like maybe like the overarching theme of like the game. Or like at Auburn too, like Coach Freeze, he does themes like for each team meeting. So kind of like interweaving those themes and his teachings into the cinematic recap too, whether it's like through the team meeting or through the locker room speeches. So kind of like thinking of like an overarching theme that you want to showcase through the video. And then also like for me, like editing videos is so like daunting sometimes, especially something as big as a cinematic recap where there's like 10 plus cameras shooting from the game or something crazy like that, and then you have to find all of the clips for each play and then all of like that fun stuff. So I am very big on like color coding and organizing things, and so I try to like color code like, oh, this angle is this color, or this angle is that color, and all of that. And then in editing too, I like to pull select. So I'll make a select sequence and then I'll drop like all the footage from games and then I'll like sync things up. And so I kind of like, I don't know if I'm necessarily like, the most like chronological when it comes to editing, like usually for like recaps too, like I think the most important parts are the beginning and the ending. Cause like, especially the beginning mm-hmm. is in like in the world of social too, like you have to grab people's attention to have them like watch your video and be like engaged. And if you're not like really grabbing people's attention by like the first 5-10 seconds, then they may not watch it. And so sometimes like that stresses me out. So I'll wait until like I have a better idea of how to start it off. So I'll start in the middle and do like all the plays where like you can't, like you need all the touchdowns and you need like the interceptions and the sacks and all that, like the important plays, like mm-hmm. kind of put piecing those together and then kind of like going back to the intro or going back to the end kind of thing. So I tend to jump around a lot, which probably isn't the best, but that's kind of like just like my way of like doing yeah. things. But that was kind of long-winded, but that's kind of like where like I personally do things. And then if that helps someone, then I don't know.
100%. I feel like that's going to help a lot of creatives because I think it's almost like that writer's block of like, where do I start? Like, that's always the hardest mm-hmm. part. So I always, my advice to folks is always just like, just put ish on the timeline, like put something, anything. Yeah. And for you, it's working in the middle and working with the parts, the scoring plays first, right? And then working mm-hmm. backwards from there, then defense, and then weaving things around. I love that. I think that's the one thing in the creative industry we sometimes get stuck on. It's like, yes, obviously organization is key. That should always be priority, but maybe people don't want to work that way, right? Like there's no right or wrong way. There are probably things that are better for your workflow versus others. So I love that strategy. I think that's a great tip for anybody listening, no matter what kind of work you're working on. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Steph, we've highlighted that you've accomplished quite a lot in your short time as a full-time creative and even mm-hmm. as a student, right? What's been some of the biggest things that you've learned so far in this like 3-year run?
Well, like for me too, like the biggest thing I think that I've learned is just like literally just how to shoot like football or like just how to shoot sports with, or just like how to use mm-hmm. cinematic cameras to begin with. Because outside of my like internship and like working full time, like I have like my own DSLR camera that I use, but that is so different than using like a cinematic camera. At Auburn, we have a FX6 and an FX9, like a Sony FX6 and a Sony FX9 that we use. And then while I was at Georgia, I learned how to shoot like cinema cameras on a Sony FS7. And so those are so different than just like a DSLR, because DSLRs are more mm-hmm. so like photo cameras than video cameras, and just like shooting log and like how to expose for log and then editing log footage and all of that. So just like the really technical stuff of video production, I think, is what I learned the most about. But then also like the other things when it comes to like just working in general, like time management, especially working in sports, you have to be like, a lot of the times you have to be like the first person to post something if you want it to do well, kind of thing. Like being like the first person to do things is like the most important aspect of sports, because if you wait like a week or 2 weeks after a game or something, it might not perform as well because like people have already moved on. Like that game happened yeah. like weeks ago. It's basically like the world of sports moves so fast, so being on top of your stuff and all of that like is super important. Yeah, that's basically like the two like main things that I've like had to learn like the last couple of years.
On your note about time management and organization, I think I'm curious your perspective, because when I made the jump from like being a student in school and then going to full time, it was almost like, oh wow, like I have way more time now. But it's because I'm not a student anymore. I don't have to go to classes, but it's like then you're working 9 to 5 and it's almost like you're constantly thinking about it. How do you stay organized? How do you keep your schedule on track? You know, you mentioned having to manage a lot of deliverables that's internal for the team, things that go externally. Like, what are your tips to help yourself stay organized?
Yeah, that's honestly something that I'm still kind of working on too. But like for me, at least what works for me is I use Google Calendar a lot. And so I like to, like, I'll always have like in my office or like in like my desk setup is I have my laptop and then I have two displays. So on one of the displays, I'll always have my calendar pulled up. So I know what's going on. Like each week, I know what I need to shoot each week or I need to know, or like what I need to finish for that week. So I'll always have that pulled up. So it's always in my line of vision kind of thing. And then I also have like just a paper planner that I like to use. So then kind of like for to-do lists or whatever. So then like I physically write things down. So that's what helps me like try and stay on top of things. But like that's like the, what I've done for like ever since college too. So that's kind of like what I've done and then like what works for me. So I kind of just like stick with that.
So you talked about, you know, time management. With time management comes like some decompression. We all know that college football season, sports seasons are very long.
It's a lot.
A lot of hours. Yeah. What are you doing to kind of get away from it to kind of reset yourself?
Yeah. So that's like something that I still work on a lot too. Cause especially when I was in college, I tended to like overcommit my thing or overcommit myself to things. And so I was literally, there was like one semester where I literally would be on campus from like 8 or 9 a.m. to like 10, 11 p.m. or like later, just like going to class, going to work, doing like student org meetings or doing homework or whatever. And so like, it was really hard for me to essentially like take time off. But like, especially when I first started working here, I was like, when I start working, I'm going to take care of myself and make that a priority to like exercise and to like actually like eat breakfast and not run out of the door and like actually sleep. Cause especially in college too, like I would work better at night and I still do work better at night where it's like the world is quiet, it's dark, like I can just focus. No one's blowing up my phone or texting or whatever. But like I've like learned, especially the last few months, like I just as a person, like what's it called, function so much better when I have at least like 8 to 10 hours of sleep. And then I started like actually like working out and like exercising. And so like that's like what I've been trying to do is like set a routine or at least like a morning routine, like a couple of hours before I have to like go in the office to be like wake up and like go like either go for a walk or like go lift for like 30 minutes to like an hour and then actually like set the day right. So then like at work I'm performing to my best of ability. So I'm not like hungry and then like I make sure to eat breakfast and then so that way I'm not hungry all day and being like I can't function because I can't think because I'm so hungry kind of thing. Where like I in college too, like I would just like get up and like leave and go to class and then like go about my day, which was like honestly not the best. But that's like something still trying to like figure out is like just making sure I'm taking enough time for myself and all that.
It's so much easier said than done to like manage a healthy sleep and exercise schedule, but I love that you're committing to that because it is so important for every single one of us.
All right, back to the talk of the towns. Now I am biased because I lived in Athens. Let's talk about the food in Auburn and the food Athens.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, gosh. Here so I was literally talking about this because my parents were here this weekend because we had a basketball game. And so I like invited them over to watch the game with us. And I'm like, I genuinely think the food in Athens and just in Georgia in general is better, in my opinion. But I'm also biased because I spent I spent 5 years of my life living in Athens. I spent like the majority of my life living in Georgia. But like, I don't know about y'all, but at least to me, it seems that in Auburn, it's very like American food or like barbecue.
Yes.
And like for me personally, that's just like not my vibe. But in Athens, there's just like so much more of a variety. And so that's kind of like my take on it.
Yeah, Karina hasn't leaned into that yet. And every time
hold up. I have, but my perspective is difficult because I'm coming from the Bay where like there's so many different and like, you know, geographically, like space wise, right? There's just more options than Athens. I will 100% agree with Steph here because, yes, like there's a lot of American food options. Like, I can't eat. I'm trying to think of the place. I always would go to, was it BurgerFi? BurgerFi? The one, it's the burger place. Yeah, that's what it's called. I really liked that place. But you're right. There's definitely more selection. So Darius, when I'm comparing Auburn to Athens for food, I will give Athens the number one spot.
Yeah, I don't think it's any comparison. But I will say that so when I worked at Ole Miss, one of my my boss was from Auburn, lives there now on Lake Martin, but he would always bring us Connie's chili dogs. Yeah. Have you never had those?
I've never.
You got
Connie's chili dogs?
Yeah, it's like Miss Connie's. It's Miss Stories. I'm sorry. Miss Stories.
Miss Stories.
He would always bring us Miss Stories chili dogs. And that's the one place that I've gotten food from. But I've also been to a few places, whether it was in Opelika or Lake Martin or Auburn.
Opelika?
Yeah. They were good, but Athens is, I mean, we're talking Mama's Boys. We're talking what's the Italian spot? Oh, La Paria. Not La Paria. It's so many places.
You told me about this. Last I forget resort. The name.
Last Resort.
What's the place we were talking about last week that you went to the wrong one?
The Latin food. Oh, why am I blanking?
Peruvian.
Oh, Calientitos.
Oh, Calientitos. So she went to Calientitos on the east side and not Calientitos by campus, which is the only one that you should go to. And there's also, what's the place right on the corner of campus? It's like a seafood place.
Right in Five Points. Oh, what is it called? What is it called? I know what it's called. I've been there before. It's so good.
Was it Seventh? No, it wasn't Seventh something. Anyway.
Marker Seven?
Yeah. Marker Seven.
That's so good, too.
I need to write all these down because I still have yet to go.
Yeah.
Because that's like the one thing that maybe because I've only been here like 6-8 months in Auburn, so yeah. I haven't really had the chance to explore that much. But like, I think Athens just has a lot more like mom and pop, restaurants. Like there's, like you said, yeah, like Mama's Boy. There's like, I love Maple. It's so good.
Oh, and I just had that. It's
yeah.
Delicious.
Cause they opened Maple's blowing up too. Like they just opened one in Atlanta.
That's
they opened another location in Athens. It's so good. And then
it's like a healthy fast food. It's really good.
Awesome.
It's like a healthy Chipotle almost. It's like the Chipotle style where you like order, like you get like your meat or like your protein, your carb, like your veggie kind of vibe.
Yeah.
It's so yummy.
Yeah. But I haven't only found like unhealthy things.
Like I haven't found any places like that yet in Auburn. So I just need to explore. But like me and my family, we just went to this one restaurant in Auburn called Conquistador. Like they just opened up a few months ago and it's like Spanish American food, like very Caribbean. Like the owner's Puerto Rican and my family's
what?
Puerto Rican. So-
oh, yeah. Excuse me? Wait a minute.
Karina will
You're
be there
telling
tomorrow.
Me
just open.
I will literally drive. I'm not joking. I will drive there. A Puerto Rican opened a restaurant in Auburn?
Yeah, it's like that is- it's so good too. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
But apparently he owns another restaurant too in Columbus. I forgot what it was called, but in
right
Columbus,
down the
Georgia.
Road. Yeah, that's awesome. I will say I really enjoyed The Hound in Auburn. That place is awesome. Like, I don't think I had a bad meal from there. Amsterdam Cafe, delicious. I think crab cakes, delicious. Like, there's some good spots in Auburn. But I will say I feel like there's more to choose from, more better selection here in Athens. Athens, I really like Taqueria Tsunami. That place is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, I missed that place.
So
Latin
good.
Asian fusion. Let me tell you guys, when I first went there, I was very skeptical. I'm like, Asian Latin food. Like, I was thinking it was going to be like a mashup of like General Tso's chicken in a burrito, and I was like scared, but it is delicious. It's very, very well done. We love that spot. Yeah, I could talk.
I want to.
Of course, you bring up food. We could talk about this forever.
I want a ribeye burger from Porterhouse, the steakhouse.
Oh, I never tried Porterhouse while I was there.
Go back to Athens, go during lunchtime. There's a ribeye steak burger, and it is probably top two burgers that I've ever had in my life.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Note to self and all our listeners.
It's ridiculous.
Porterhouse Grill in Athens.
So, Steph, we could talk about food all day. But yeah. What's been some of the best advice that you've gotten as a creative? Whether it was as a student or now as a professional?
For me, like, at least, like, everyone always says this, and so it's kind of a cliche, but like, posting your work really does truly like do like so much for you, because that was like kind of honestly like how I got my position now, like at Auburn. It was just like being active on social media, especially on Twitter. Like, I always tell people this too, but like, Twitter is the LinkedIn of the sports world, or the sports creative world especially, because like, at least for me personally, like, I don't pay that much attention to LinkedIn, or I like, LinkedIn's very much more corporate-y. And then like, Twitter is like the more like laid back sports creative vibe. So, but like, posting your work truly does like help you propel you, or like into the like just getting opportunities in general. Cause especially when I was a senior, I was like, oh no, or like my last year at Georgia, I did like 1 year of grad school there. I just started posting my work more. Like, each week I tried to like do like a little like frames from like game day, which I think I did like once or twice, and then I got busy and I kind of stopped. But like, just like my best shots from the game, or like just posting like photos or like little video clips of like my favorite shots from like work, like really truly helped me. And then like, especially like as a video creative, like, I made my reel from like the 2 years that I worked at Georgia, and then I posted that. And then that's kind of like, I think truly like kind of part of the reason why I got my job now, because Tyler, like our director of creative video, he just reached out to me on Twitter and was like, oh, we have this job opening at Auburn, are you interested? I was like, because I had gotten a couple of DMs similar to that, where it's just like, you know, you're generic, like, oh, we have a job opening up, here's the application link, post, like, fill it out, mm-hmm. kind of vibe. And like, I just thought it was like another one of those of like, so I just like, I like looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. Like, let me know when the application goes live and I'll apply. And then he was like, oh no, like, it's like, there's not really like an application link. Like, if you want, like, we can like hop on a call and I'll tell you more about it. And then I basically got offered the job like on the first call I was. And so I was like, not like taken aback, but I was like, what? I was like, okay, cool.
Yes.
But like, and I think part of that too is like just posting your work and like being active on social. Because like, if I wasn't, or if I hadn't had done that, then like people like wouldn't know like what my work looks like, or like what my portfolio looks like. And that also kind of goes into like, because I also, I don't know if y'all know what Gondola is, but Gondola, like,
yes,
where
we do.
What's it called? Shout out. You can just like, yeah, because that's what I, it was almost like another portfolio for me, because I had my website, but Gondola was just so easy, because you just like credit yourself, or you credit like who worked on you with, or who worked with you on a project. And so that was like another example too, because I really enjoyed it too as a student, because I was like, these are all the video like videos or photos I did as a student, like, this is how many views it got, this is how many like whatever it got. And so like, people kind of get weird about like the numbers, especially, and like, especially working for Georgia as a student, like, all of those numbers are inflated a little bit, because like, when you especially like, Georgia's just a big brand with a large following, so like, all of those numbers are kind of inflated because of that. So it may not be like a true testament of like if it's good or not, but like it just kind of shows too, like, oh, as a student I got like, I posted x amount of videos and they got like 20 plus million views, like, even though that might not be like true, like a true like testament to my work, but like on a resume, that's like a,
it's like, it's how you stand out.
Yeah, it's like, it grabs people's attention, like, whether you like it or not, like, numbers that big grabs people's attention. And then especially like in the world of like sports or creative, where there's hundreds of people applying or something, like you need to stand out. And if that's like one way that helps you stand out, whether it's like posting on Twitter or like figuring out like the little things like that that help you stand out, like that's like the way to go, I guess, if that makes any sense.
All day, 100%. I have a few things to say. Number one, shout out to you. Thank you for sharing, you know, how you got the job, because I think that is a question a lot of listeners have, like, right? How did you get your job? How did it happen? Because there are a lot of ways that it can happen in the industry. Shout out to you for being ready and prepared. Obviously, you made such an impression on that first phone call. And you had, like you said, you demonstrated your work. You showed the contributions that you had. Maybe you weren't the exact reason that a video got so many thousands or hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of views, but you contributed to that and you had experience. And I think even you saying, you know, you were posting frames, your best frames from your work, that's also an indication to somebody that is hiring you of your style, your taste, your ability to tell a story, your ability to choose selects, right? All those things are like very tangible skills that are needed in the day-to-day job, because you can shoot hours of footage, but can you choose the best parts of hours of footage? Mm-hmm. Like that's awesome to me. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm super happy for you, because
thank you.
I feel like your story's a little bit unconventional in the sports industry. Maybe, you know, we've heard a lot from people that maybe started in high school and they knew exactly what they wanted to do or work for ESPN and they climbed the ranks. But I love that you spent like two years with Georgia. Another question I have for you is, you mentioned grad school.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to do grad school?
So at Georgia, there's this program called Double Dog. So it's where you get your bachelor's and your master's degree in essentially 5 years. And so, like I said, like earlier, like my first season working with Georgia was my senior year, like in undergrad. And so I was like, I want another season. Like, I feel like I haven't learned like as much as I could just like with that one season. Cause like in true, like in my opinion, like you need at least 2 to 3 seasons, like working in sports, like as a student, okay, at least, to like truly get like a grasp of everything that you want to learn. And so that was like part of the reason why. But like another big reason was that like Double Dogs program where I could get both of my degrees. So I kind of knew from like undergrad to like sophomore, junior year that I kind of wanted to like at least do that and take advantage of it, because you're taking grad classes as a undergrad student. And so not only is it like undergrad tuition, which is a lot cheaper than grad school tuition, so I was kind of like killing two birds with one stone by doing that. And so, and then also I only had to do one additional year after undergrad for my grad school degree, which I didn't want to like graduate, like move away, like start working and then like decide to go back to school. Cause like I knew like who I am as a person, like I probably like get caught up in like working full time and I just wouldn't really make the time to like get another degree. And so, and then like Georgia had like this program called Emerging Media, which is kind of that was the grad school degree that I got. And so I feel like it combined like all of my interests, photo, video, like it was focused a lot too more on like UX, UI design, which I was kind of interested in. And so I learned a little bit of like website design and even like graphic design. So like I have like very like small knowledge in that. But that's kind of like my thought process behind it was, like it was mainly because of like the Double Dog program where I could get like 2 degrees in 5 years. And then I also wanted another season at Georgia. And so that's kind of like, or I wanted another season with Georgia football to learn like even more. And so that's kind of like where my thought process went. So it's not like the most conventional, but like my grad school program too was like really flexible. You kind of got to like do with it what you wanted or get what you wanted out of it. And so each like group kind of had their own either like client or project, which was essentially our thesis. Like we didn't have to write a thesis. It was just our project that we like worked on like the entire year and entire like 2 years or however long it was we were in the program. So that was like my thought process behind it.
That's awesome. All right. Game time. We've incorporated a little game here that Karina started some weeks ago. You get 30 seconds for this game. So
oh, no.
I'm kind of buffering so to get your mind flowing a little bit, but she's going to explain the game, and it's just a way to have a little fun with our guest and kind of dig into the brains and day-to-day life of the creatives.
All right. So you mentioned earlier, you kind of got interested in video watching YouTubers, and, you know, sometimes there, I remember back in the day, there was like, what's in my bag? Right. And they would like through their bag and pull out, you know, this, I carry this with me all the time. So we want to know what is in Steph's essentials bag from a creative standpoint. So you have 30 seconds to list off as many tools, items, whatever it can be programs, whatever you use. What are Steph's essentials? Ready? You got 30 seconds in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. Sony FX6, extra camera batteries, chapstick, extra deodorant, because, you know, I'd be sweating all day on a game day. Oh, what's it called? Screwdriver. I use Adobe Premiere Pro, a MacBook, mouse, chargers, extension cords. What's it called? Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. I can't think. Film camera.
Time.
Film.
Right.
Okay, there we go.
So to date, that was 11. Time. That was 11 essential items, and you. I think that you got these questions beforehand because you know that was you. You kind of reeled those
ready.
Off. Yeah. So if you had gotten the last one, it would have been like 12.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was just trying to think like what I bring on game days, but
oh, that's great.
That's awesome. Listen, the deodorant is so real. Like we don't talk about that enough. How you prepare for the elements
of game day.
Shooting of game day. And even if you're inside, like I would work in the control room, I would bring a winter coat cuz it's cold as heck in there.
Yes,
like
always. So cuz it has
I
to
love
be.
That, yeah. It has to be, right? Because for the equipment and all that, I get it. But it's like, that's a part of game day prep that people don't realize. Like, I'll bring extra layers. And, you know, if it is that in-between season, you got to be ready. Like, is it going to be cold? Is it going to be hot in the morning? And then when the sun, if it's like 11 a.m. kickoff, like by the time noon hits, it's the hottest point of the day. Like, I love that you threw in some essentials
Oh, for sure. Like, that's my biggest pet peeve is when I'm like working and I'm like, oh my gosh, my lips are chapped. And that's the only thing I can think about kind of thing. So I try to think about that. But yeah, working game days in the South. Like, I just started bringing like 2 extra clothes. So like after a game day, I can either like shower or change. So then like if I have to log footage or start editing, like after a game day, I can be at least comfortable and like clean. So
I love that.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
So we kind of talked about, you know, the experiences of, you know, Auburn, but kind of walk us through game day for Auburn football. Mm-hmm. Like what I think you may have mentioned that you may have a crew of like 10 cameras shooting amongst all the things because you're doing Sporting Story show, you're doing War Eagle Productions, like you got a lot of cameras there. But for your particular segment of Auburn football, what's your day-to-day like on game day and what's that setup?
Yeah, so for me personally, like how kind of how I like and like my team kind of work, so we usually get to campus about like 4 to 5 hours before kick, and then that way we have enough time to like get all of our stuff to the stadium, like set everything up. Usually, especially if it's a home game, we'll set up the Friday before and just bring all our equipment down the day before, make sure everything's plugged in, all of that fun stuff. But then on game day, we get there 4 or 5 hours early. We get some establishing shots of the stadium, of the environment, kind of all that fun stuff. And then Tiger Walk, which is arguably like one of my favorite parts of the day, happens usually, I think it's 2 hours before kick. And so we'll get out there early before the team arrives and they, like, shoot the fans, like, all excited, ready to, like, welcome the team in and, like, hype the team up before the game. And then, so this past season I was on Ronin, and so we would choose, like, whoever had, like, a really good game the week before or something like that and, like, follow them down Tiger Walk, which is always super exciting. And then, like, for me, like, I love Tiger Walk too, because the guys like to dress up, and like, I love seeing all the like the different little fashion elements and like how they get to show off their personal style through that. So that's like what I really enjoy from that. But then after Tiger Walk, I go back in and like I'll dump all my footage from Tiger Walk and put it on my hard drive. And then there's pregame, so we shoot pregame and the guys warming up and all of that. And then there's like the run out, the team run out, and then like the pregame, what's it called, like the eagle flight, the band playing. And that's always really like, super fun and like really pretty. Like pregame is honestly such like all the way from like Tiger Walk to like the team run out is so exciting because there's so much different things going on. And then there's the actual game. So this past season I was kind of like in the end zone shooting, so I'll just like shoot the guys like my like main focus was shooting, or like my main focus too, like when I personally shoot, is like getting like the reactions from guys, because in my opinion, like that's like the most like emotional, or like the most mm-hmm. like story, like those are my favorite types of shots, like seeing how excited the guys are, like hyping each other up, like that's what I kind of like try to focus on too. And then of course like the plays and getting the touchdowns and the sacks and all that. And then after the game's over, depending on what happens, like win or loss, we'll cover either like the post game speeches, or like one thing too is like Tumor's Corner, like at Auburn, where they like after we win a game, we like the students and the fans all roll tumors, and that's like a big tradition. And then I don't know, like y'all probably maybe know, but I think it kind of started when, or like that tradition started, when was it? Like, I think it was like after one of the first Iron Bowl wins. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it was, but they would throw like the ticker paper for telegraphs or something, I think it was. And they would like throw it over the power lines. And so it kind of like evolved over the years to like essentially TPing the trees on Tumor's Corner. But it's so fun. And like people like outside of Auburn may not truly understand that, but it's so fun, like seeing like the little kids with their families running around, and like there's like so much bigger stories than just like people throwing and like TPing like trees. Like it's like the parents who like went to Auburn and now their kids are there and they're experiencing that. So like those like little stories are so exciting. And then I like for the first game against UMass, we followed Coach Freeze down and like he rolled tumors for the first time with his family, and so like those little stories too are so exciting to capture. But I think like that, like for me personally, that's what I do on a game day. But like football internally, we have four other people creative internally for football that all have like different, what's it called, responsibilities on game day too.
It's so much fun. I'm like having flashbacks to going to games. I didn't roll tumors that often because we're you know editing or doing mm-hmm. something like that, or we would have somebody else, like I wasn't responsible for it, but we'd have somebody else go shoot it and I'd see the footage the next day. But it is a very, very cool experience, and I got to take my parents there when they came to visit, and my mom was like, yeah, like you said, she's a kind of an Auburn outsider up until me working for Auburn, and she's like, wow, there's so many people. It truly is like that whole end-to-end experience. And it's funny because where they roll, for those who don't know, where they roll the trees, it's not super close to the stadium. Like it's you can get there, yeah. But it's not like it's right outside. So it's cool like that it like extends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's awesome. Getting flashbacks as you were walking yeah. through game day. So let's say you finish a game day. What mm-hmm. are some things that you do to decompress? Because I know for me, a lot of times it's like the energy, the higher energy, or go, 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 go. But it takes time for me to kind of wind down. What are some of the things that you do to help, get ready for bed and, get ready for the next mm-hmm. day and like take it down a notch?
Yeah. So like for me personally too, especially if we win a game, like after the game's over, like I don't get to go home. Like I have to still work. Because we have to like prep, like we have to label all our footage to make sure it's ready for like when we start editing the cinematic and all the other like pieces of content that go along with post win of a game. But like after all that's said and done, I'll usually come home, I'll shower, because like after working like 12 plus hours in the Alabama sun, I just feel so gross. So like that's like the first step, is like to at least like shower. And like,
yeah,
like I am a very like, I love to take like super hot showers, so that like that alone like helps like decompress me. And then like doing your skincare routine, and you got to do like the moisturizer and all that. So like just taking like the time like to just like get ready for bed, and then is like kind of like what helps me decompress. And then like honestly, if it's like a late game, like I'll get home at like 1-2 in the morning, maybe 3 in the morning, and then I'll just like go straight to bed. I'm like too tired to even do anything, but that's like
that's so real.
Especially like some of like the away games too, where you're like traveling back right after the game's over, because a lot of the times you don't stay an extra night or whatever like in the city that you're in. So like I'm just like I just want to go home and go to sleep.
Yeah, the sleep schedule gets a little wonky when there's travel involved in sports, for sure. So there's so many different things that you're working on. And you mentioned having, you know, you're in charge of football reaction, and there's lots of coverage, it seems. What does your team generally look like, and what is it like working together with others?
So kind of like for me, like at Auburn, at least, there's kind of two almost different departments that like work like on game day. So there's like the internal football side of things, and then there's like the War Eagle creative / War Eagle production side of things. But for football internally, I work alongside four other people. So there's Alex Keller, our creative director, and then there's JJ Walquist, our director of social and branding, and then there's Tyler Cole, our director of creative video, and then there's Austin Pearman, our director of photography. And so I love like the layout of our team, and I think like kind of we have a little bit of everything. So Alex is in charge of all of the recruiting graphics and kind of like helping out with the recruiting needs. And then JJ runs social on game days and runs social in general. And then all of the graphics for print and like social, he kind of is behind. And then me and Tyler work on video together and kind of like do all that. And then I feel like what's kind of unique too about Auburn is that we have Austin, who's our photographer, like our full-time photographer. His only job is photography, or like running like the photo needs for the team, whether it's on game day or like headshots or and all that. There's a bunch of stuff that goes into it. But I think that's like super unique too, because not that many schools, or like at least internally, have a full-time photographer for like most sports in general. And so like that, like really like having super high quality images from like him help like propel our graphics. And then it also like help propel like the look of our videos, and like having everything be like super uniform, which I think is like one thing that Auburn, or like we do really well. But like that's like what I think is super unique about Auburn, is that like we all like work together and have like a super like uniform, and like our like branding is super uniform and like all like
consistent.
Yeah. Super consistent.
That's awesome. And I did want to ask, like, what has been your proudest moment? I know your time at Auburn has been relatively short so far, but what's been your proudest moment? And with that, what advice do you have for those who are trying to get to some of those moments?
Yeah. So I like, because I was trying to like think, because I have a bunch of like little different moments that like kind of stand out, like from like being a student to being now. But I think one of them is like getting my job here, where I like I don't know, that's like one thing. But then like another one, which I didn't really talk about, but so when I first like interviewed with Georgia, it wasn't for creative. Like my first like Georgia football interview was actually for like a coach's film position, and I didn't even know it was for coach's film at the time. But backtrack, like context. So after like a student org meeting or something, I saw a poster that said like video interns wanted like Georgia football, and I was like, say less, I'm gonna apply. And then I think this was my sophomore year in college, so it was like November 2019, so about 2 years before I actually started interning with Georgia. And so I applied, and like this entire time I was like filling out the application and everything, I thought it was for creative because it didn't really like specify. Or maybe it did specify and I just didn't notice. But, and so the entire time I was applying thinking it was creative, and then I got an interview, but then the person that interviewed me was like not one of the names I recognized that worked for creative. So I was like, oh, maybe like I just interview with them first and then I'll interview with the creative people later. And so I go into and I interview thinking it's for a creative job. So I'm answering all the questions based off of like a creative mindset. But then he starts asking me questions about like, what does this position do? What does this position do? What does this mean in football? And I'm like, oh, I wasn't ready for this.
Oh, no.
And so Because, like, that's, like, one thing, too, about me, which maybe is bad, but, like, I didn't, like, know the super technical stuff about football until I started, like, actually working, like, in football. Yeah. Like, I, like, watched games and stuff, but I wasn't, like,
sure,
super, like, into it. And so mm-hmm. I literally was sitting there, like, my heart sank, and I was like, oh, my God, I actually don't know. And the amount of times I said, I don't know, in this interview was, like, so humbling. And in, as I'm, like, talking, I'm like, okay, I just want to leave because I, like, I know for a fact I didn't get this job. And I didn't because, like, I left and then, like, I never heard back from them. But fast forward to, like, March 2022. Like, I went and I covered the NFL Combine. And we were in the air, me and my coworker, we were in the airport, like, after covering the Combine. And we run into this guy, and, like, my coworker obviously knew him because they worked together. And I'm, like, they're talking and, like, catching up because they hadn't seen each other in a while. And I was, like, this guy looks so familiar. And I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, oh, my gosh, wait, this is the guy that interviewed me for the first time, like, at Georgia football. And I didn't say anything because I was just, like, I didn't really, like, know him. So I was just, like, sitting there, like, oh, my gosh, this is the guy that, like, first interviewed me, like, in, like, the first sports interview for a job. And then I didn't get. And so I was, like, but then I was also, like, in Indianapolis at the airport after shooting the NFL Combine. And I was, like, this is, like, I guess, like, one of the, I like, almost I made it moments or, like, I'm just, like, getting started kind of thing. So I was, like, I got interviewed for this job and then didn't get it by this person. But now I'm running into him after, like, I don't know, the universe works in mysterious ways kind of thing. So it was, like,
100%.
Like, it was, like, the first time where I was, like, oh, I need to keep going because I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was just, like, such a wild experience because I was, like, because at that point, like, he left Georgia to, like, work somewhere else for a different opportunity. And so I was just, like, oh, my gosh, this is so wild. I don't know if that makes any, like, sense, but.
No, that makes a lot resonates. Of sense. It resonates because I'm thinking of my first interview as a student for Illinois Athletics, and I was 100% convinced that I wasn't going to get the internship because I was also answering the question similarly to you in that I didn't have a lot of experience doing video work other than like random videos for Movie Maker. And so I would say I don't have a lot of experience in XYZ, but I'm very willing to learn because I, you know, and would try to relate it to, you know, I edited videos in Windows Movie Maker, right? But I think to your point, you feel that heart drop, like when you ask a question and you're not sure how to answer it. But it's also like, for me, at least, it was a form of motivation to be like, crap, like I actually have a lot more to learn. I have a lot more to grow. Like, how can I push myself? Okay, I need to be able, if I do this interview again, answer those questions and like do it confidently. So that makes 100% sense. That's I love that story because it's like you turned it what could have been just like, oh, I'm gonna throw in the towel, into something bigger. So that's beautiful.
Yeah, and like that that experience truly humbled me because I was still relatively young too. I was like a sophomore in college, and so like I hadn't really interviewed with like that many people in general, and so like that like taught me to like you need to over prepare for interviews, like no matter how small a job you might think is or like how whatever. And so like I remember too, all like day. When I like got my creative like in like interview for the creative video internship, I still have my Word document saved too, but I have like a Word document with like all these potential questions that they could ask me. Like I had like the football roster pulled up in case they asked me anything about like what does this player do or whatever. But it was like it truly, truly taught me, like, you have to be super prepared for interviews or just prepared in general. So, but I guess that's, like, one.
So that's a good segue into kind of two things. One, the importance of timing because, you know, the timing could have, you know, you could have gotten that position and kind of failed, right? Like if you weren't prepared at that point, but you got, you know, I'm a huge proponent of everything happens for a reason and every no isn't necessarily a no, but it's maybe a not yet. And so had you not had that experience to get those questions and not be prepared, another thing is preparation is everything, but you also don't know what you don't know. So talk about, one, the value of timing or the importance of timing. And also, this episode will be during Women's History Month. Both of you have obviously gotten opportunities in this field as women in this field. Like, what's that feeling, or do you take that as a responsibility or a burden?
So in terms of like the timing thing, like I always say that too, like everything happens for a reason. Like I am where I am because like that's where like the universe wants me to be at this point in my life. But like, for example, too, like the timing thing, like that, like first like interview I got and like totally botched, like that was fall 2019. And like right after that, like 2020 happened and like COVID and then the pandemic and like everything shut down. So like if I had gotten that, I probably either like would have, like I wouldn't have gotten what I wouldn't have gotten out of the internship, what I would have wanted because of like, no one was in person that year kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like, that's like one of the like real timing things. And, but like the timing of like my job and like just everything, like kind of like led up to like this moment, I guess, if that makes any sense. But going to like the like women in sports thing, like I think because we like Women in Sports Day was or Girls and Women in Sports Day was a few like weeks ago, and we like at Auburn we made a video, and then one of like my coworkers did like a really like said a really good point. She said that I want people to like look at me and think that like I'm good at my job and that I'm not just like a girl like doing this job, but I'm good at my job regardless. But like if like me doing well is like inspiring like other girls or like people younger than me to like keep going, like then that's like why we do what we do. Cause like, especially like being a Hispanic woman, I don't know if you like feel this way too, Karina, but like there are very, very few people like in the sports creative world that like look like me or that like have the same background as me. And so like that's also like kind of important too, to be like you can do like you can like you can do what you set your mind to kind of thing, like if that makes any sense. Especially like in video production and sports creative, it's very like a male dominated field, so like being able to have like these opportunities and like is like so like I don't know how to say it, but it, like I'm so grateful for like what I do and like to be in the position I am.
Yeah. And I think to Darius's question, like it feels good and there's gratitude, but there is also a little bit of a burden sometimes on your shoulders, at least for me back in the day, where I always kind of felt like I had to flex, I had to prove, I had to not make mistakes because I didn't want my like womanhood or like creative industry, you know, personhood to be questioned, you know? And so I feel like sometimes, you know, that burden exists. And Steph, you gave me a little bit of chills because, and it's relevant given what recently happened. What recently happened in watching Sabrina Ionescu and Steph Curry go back to back, not back to back, go at it for the 3-point contest in NBA All-Star. And then just kind of hearing some of the commentary around it as it's going on live. And it's like, even the questions they ask Sabrina after, like they ask Steph, like, Steph, you did a great job. Like, what was it like? And then they turn to Sabrina and they're like, Sabrina, great job. What does it feel like to influence so many young women and girls? And it's like, whoa, like, can we, you know, sometimes I get it. Like, you have to ask that question and it is an iconic moment, but it's like, can't we have some equality even in the questions that we're asking? Like, why don't you ask Steph that same question that you ask Sabrina, right? Like, so anyways, without getting off too much of a tangent, I do feel like sometimes there is that pressure as women, but I totally identify with what you said, like being a Latina, you know, there aren't that many of us. So that's why I am so excited for you to be in the position that you are in. And like, I have chills just like thinking about your journey and the ways you push yourself, the ways that you you're changing the industry, right? Like you're changing the industry just by being you. And I think that's the beauty of the creative sports industry in general, right? There's a long way to go. We've made a lot of progress, but we all have something to bring because of the experiences that we lived in our own bodies, you know? So anyways, I feel like I'm rambling at this point. So
no, you're preaching.
No, yeah.
You're preaching
I don't know about that.
The masses. You do make a great point. It's you know, the two of you are probably inspiring someone, whether they are the same age you are, a few years younger than you, or even little girls, when they come to a game and they see you, or they go to a conference and they see Karina, you know, speaking on the stage with her peers that may not look like who she is. I think that is very vital. Like, representation just does something that, like, it just does it unintentionally and intentionally, because you never know. And I think, you know, you brought up the 3-point contest with Steph and Sabrina. Like, that's amazing for sports, right?
Yes.
And I think you'll have large, and it's not to diminish what that moment was. That is something that sometimes we try to identify it and minimize it, to your point about the questions that was asked to Sabrina. That was huge for sports. You have the best shooter in the world ever, and one of the best up and coming athletes in sports, right? Doesn't matter if she's a girl, doesn't matter if she's, you know, whatever. She's one of the best ones upcoming. Like, let's embrace that as sports in general. And sometimes I think, and this is only a personal view, is I think sometimes when we say, oh, women's sports, or women in sports, it's like we diminish that. You hold a space as a person that is bigger than just, oh, she's a woman. So,
right,
like, Sabrina held her own, like, as a great shooter. Again, I mean, if she had faced anyone else, she's probably winning.
Oh, all day.
Like,
all day. And
she had the same winning score. I mean, she had the same score as Dame Lillard.
Exactly, which is, I mean, that's such a flex. Like, she freaking killed it out there. I mean, so did Steph. Like, you can't, the whole event, that was awesome.
I mean, I think, but embracing the whole thing is like, you know, she said, hey, if you can shoot, you can shoot. And
exactly.
It takes me back to the NCAA campaign that they had some years ago. If you can play, you can play. And it's a beautiful thing, but we have to stop diminishing everything and trying to categorize it. But I do not want to diminish, you know, celebrating the both of you who are doing things and blazing a path, even, you know, knowingly and unknowingly. And just want to encourage you to continue to go, continue to press forward, continue to break down walls, because you belong where you are. Whether it started in a DM, or it started from an internship, or no matter where it started from, you belong where you are, because you're destined to be where you are. Like, and you have to kind of live in that sometimes. So salute to both of you.
Thank you, Darius. I appreciate it. And Stephanie, we so appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for sharing all of your intel, all of your insights, and your experience. This has been amazing. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the sports creative community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.